Thank God for this opportunity to gather together. We know it's great that we are able to do so. This last chapter of Isaiah lists me what it means to be a person who is full of God's grace. We want to split the section into four sections. First, God's redemption. Second, redemption is through humility and a contrite spirit. The third is do not choose your own path. God's resting place. Start with the first one. God's redemption is complete. Isaiah recorded the words. He spoke on behalf of God. The name Isaiah means the Lord has been. He is the prophet in the southern kingdom of Judah, speaking for God in the time of King Uzziah in Judah. This is around 700 BC during the reigns of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. He served God for about 50 to 60 years. The first through 39 chapters of Isaiah corresponds to the 39 books of the Old Testament. These 35 chapters follow a general pattern. God wants his people not to abandon him. Second, if they do not heed his warnings, they will be driven from the land given to their ancestors. But the prophet's name says this: the Lord has saved. God's loving redemption will ultimately bring them back. The conclusion of chapter 35 states, let's read together Isaiah 35:10. It says, and the redeemed of the Lord will return and come to Zion with singing. Then in chapters 36 through 39 are historical accounts. These chapters detail events such as the Assyrian army besieging Jerusalem during the 14th year of King Hezekiah. God sent an angel to destroy 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. These chapters also recount Hezekiah's illness and recovery. And the Lord God spoke to him. And his Babylon's history, involvement in Judah's history. So, chapters 1 through 9, we see God's love. Even though his people sinned against him, he still saved them. Through the prophet, God also spoke of the eternal redemption prepared for all nations. So, chapters 1 through 39, we see God's book. We see the salvation. On chapters 40 onwards, let's read together. Voice Isaiah 43, a voice called wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord our God. And then Mark 4:1. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, baptism of forgiveness of. Chapter 40 and onwards, we see the revealing of light. Also see in Revelation 21:1. Then I saw a new heaven and earth. This is the same as Isaiah 66:22, as the new heavens and the new earth that I will appear before me, declares the Lord. How will your name and descendants endure? In this context refers to the redeemed of the Lord. This was mentioned in Isaiah 35:10. What does redeemed mean? It means those who are bought back at a price. The righteous God cannot ignore. Those who do not acknowledge must punish. But because of his love, Isaiah says that God has planned redemption. Jesus paid the price to buy back his captive people. We know that Jesus Christ is our ransom. Knew that both and Judah would be destroyed. So at the people of Isaiah, the book serves as a warning to the northern kingdom of Israel, southern kingdom of Judah. Isaiah 1:2, hear me, you heavens, listen, earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its master, the donkey its owner's manager. But Israel does not know, my people do not understand. God wants the heaven and earth. Hear his complaint against the people he created. Those who belong to him but rebel against him do not know him and do not know him. The heavens and earth were created by God, and according to Jeremiah, they run according to the laws of, set by God. These laws govern the universe and gives us we can keep on living. Yet God's people, though I've given them grace, they do not obey laws like the heavens do, and they defy. Therefore, God said, let the heavens and earth witness my pain. And so we can see how the death of God's love for his people. Yet God is okay. He does not forget his people and has prepared redemption for them. Chapter 6, verse 9. Say, go tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, but never perceiving. God tells us that his audience will hear but never understand, or not understand, see but not see. Essentially, a great mission is pointless. God even says that the land of Israel will become desolate, the people of Judah will be exiled. Think that Isaiah go do this in spite of lack of results will come. Even though there seems to be no fruit, yet Isaiah continues and goes. Even though Isaiah's message is full of negative things, such as being taken over, famine, and disease, yet we see through this that Christ's salvation and great God's grace is evident. Chapter 9, verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. It reveals where this Redeemer comes from. From David's eternal throne, Isaiah 11:1, a shoot will come up, the stump of Jesse. From the roots, a branch will bear fruit. There's a promise made to King David that his descendants sit on the throne forever. And one of those descendants will become the Redeemer and save the world. Verse Isaiah 30:20-21. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk it. God said, will come along his people to guide them to understand walk on the path of redemption. God says that this Redeemer will bring God's life in revival. Isaiah 40, 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. We see through this chapter that we will have a new life. Further on, chapter 53. God through Isaiah reveals the work of the Redeemer on earth. Will bear our iniquities and suffer for us, and ultimately die for us, paying a ransom. Through this description, Bible readers can recognize Jesus is the Christ. Paul uses Christ's example and his biblical background to prove that Jesus is. So we see that God's salvation is complete. So this brings us to our second topic, redemption through humility and a contrite spirit. Isaiah 66, 1 to 2. What are the two most important words here? Before Isaiah speaks, and he says, the Lord says, I am who I am. I am existing. Yahweh is the meaning. God who exists created everything. No one ever created him. His words come with all the authority because he's a self-existent creator. So if Isaiah's words were not spoken by the Lord, if they were spoken by him as a person only, then he would have no authority. But if the Lord says, even if the words do not align with our feelings or human logic, just forgiving 7 times 7 is unreasonable and difficult. Is not aligned with human reasoning, but with God's reasoning, we can and help we can indeed do it. So what does the Lord say? He says the heavens is his throne and the earth is his footstool. Okay, can we imagine how great a God is on his throne? I noticed, for example, a few over the past years visiting hospitals, there were some chairs that are much wider than the usual ones. And approximately 3 feet wide total. Sitting in them, I could not reach both armrests in the payment. I assume people have grown bigger due to better nutrition. And chairs have also come to accommodate them. Chairs that are designed to match human dimensions. How can you imagine how big is God's chair in heaven? The heavens cannot contain God. God's seat is as vast as the heavens and earth implies immeasurable greatness. The earth serves as footstool. Can you imagine the size of his throne? Therefore, God said, "Who can build a temple that can contain me and give me rest?" We went to Linden Valley and we asked Lucy. She looked up the lodging situation. We didn't want any close to the mountain cabins where a few people would have to live in one room. Comparison, Solomon's temple did not contain God, even through its glory and splendor. The heavens and earth are made by him. If God didn't create the heavens and earth, there would be no Solomon. So we know that everything was created by God, and it is everything is his work. Not see what we can do for him, but rather values those who have a humility and a broken spirit. It resembles the Beatitudes where the poor in spirit and those who mourn are blessed. Mourn, feel sorrowful, and remorseful for their sins. Some people, they do not revere God's word. Yet, we are to be reverent of God's word. What does it mean to mourn? It means to be pain, full of pain and regret for what I did. A person who has been cleansed from sin can come face to face with God. Imperative to those who just believe we have to repent from our sins and turn back to Him.
Searching.
I remember when I was 13, I became a believer and then I strayed and got back. Renew our relationship with God when we give ourselves to God and turn from our old ways. God does not want us to do anything, but rather, He wants the relationship as possible to repent. Remember a sister in our church. He said, I let God manage the business and handle God, and I handle God for her. This perfect God's management of her business is certainly better than she could do. And she sent by God does his work. I am also blessed by him. So this is a win-win situation. She's 70 years old. She goes to Taipei and attends seminary. It's not easy. And she's doing her master's there. But she's flourishing. What can we do about build a more magnificent Solomon? Can we ask wealth for access greater than the gold and silver in Solomon's temple? Like 500 tons of gold, then whole altar was made out of the best gold. If we do achieve something like that. God can do all this with a flick of his pinky finger. We must let God's will align with what we do. I gave him instructions. And he followed it precisely. It is what pleased God. It will not be effective to build something from his own plans. The third point, do not choose your own path. Read verses 3 and 4. Isaiah 66. But whoever sacrifices a bull is like one who kills a person, and whoever sacrifices a lamb is like one who breaks God's neck. And they are offering. Their grain offering is like pig's blood. The burns from memorial incense so is like one who. They have chosen their own ways and they delight in their abominations. So I will choose harsh treatment for them, rain and truth. Where I called, no one I spoke, no one listened. The people in my sight chose what to please. Me. A person who chooses his own work. He sacrifices lamb beef bulls. Offer various offerings to God by burning God in the temple. It seems like good things. God, what does he say about them? They're break a dog's neck, offer pig's blood, and praise idols. It's like another one. He invited me to his house to celebrate. I don't eat lamb. Forgive me, brother, for using you as an example. Even though their actions follow the law of Moses, appear without. God criticized these Pharisees as hypocritical. That is painted beautiful, but inside is decaying bones. So I think this verse combined with God's description of the Pharisees is, makes sense. These hypocrites reveal their true nature, that they are self-willed and they are the lord of their own lives. Just like being depraved, does it really reflect our praise and worship to God? Not, we are just like the Pharisees. It's just like a religious ritual. We will be just outwardly they perform perfectly, but inwardly they cause God's heart. Even if their deeds score 100%, God still resists. A free choice, we think of free will. In Genesis 2:9, God first mentions the tree of life and the tree of evil, the knowledge of good and evil. These two trees in the beautiful Garden of Eden. We usually think about the second tree, the knowledge of good and evil. God first mentioned and placed the tree of life. God intended them to first choose the tree of life to gain God's life, and then to choose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. However, Adam and Eve used their own mind and free will to listen to the devil and the serpent. The fruit of the knowledge of evil. They turned over their free will to the devil. And therefore, the devil has control over their lives because he is their Lord. Because this free will was perverted by the devil. They were under the power of the evil one, as John says. Therefore, it was perverted by the devil and not full of it. Therefore, they were not trying to be free. What his name means. His name means adversary or resistor. Are in the devil. The choice is made in us under Satan's existence. We gain freedom through God. And we are not controlled by the devil anymore. We see that a good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. We do not have God's life, what comes out is the devil. So we must first have God's life in our us to be able to live it out. Need to choose your own path. God will choose, or it will make you complete. An unfortunate example of a church who went their own ways. Last June, they recognized Pride Month by the world. They also designated June 23rd as Pride Sunday. We wonder whether the leader and pastor of this church actually read the Bible. The Bible says he resists the proud, and they said, "I want pride-filled Sunday." Isn't this person thinking trouble? They do all the same things as us, such as sing praises, worship, and do good deeds. The outside world might say, "Oh, you do such a good job of caring for other people." Yet there's no good thing that can come from we going their own way and being filled with pride. They might be considered progressive, but it can be compared to those who offer things blood and do abominable sacrifices and worship idols, all of which are blasphemous to God. Verse 4, it says, God will bring delusion upon them, especially what they fear. And God says, okay, because of this, I will mingle the Assyrian Empire with the Israel. I will place you under the devil's control, the Lord says. That's why the pastor says, you can't do good things and turn to heaven. Is our own free choice. We can't blame God when